May my words and the thoughts of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I have been given a challenge this morning, and I'm hoping you have all left your memories at home. And if you haven't, please could you switch off your memory app now. The reason is that today's reading, which we've had as the story of the Good Stranger, is what was in the form of the Good Samaritan Steve spoke about a month ago. I can't remember what he said, and I haven't looked. So I'm hoping that nobody else can, and that this will be slightly different, and will help you to see a slightly different angle to this story. Today's reading starts with the second part of the story, following the lawyer's second question, who is my neighbour? Is he genuinely wanting to know, or is it a way of asking, are there any limits to who I should regard as my neighbour? Yes, the lawyer asked a good question, but it was the wrong question. If he was genuinely wanting to know from Jesus who his neighbour is, if he was genuinely wanting to show love and compassion, the question he should have asked was, who can I be neighbour to? Who can I help? Who can I show God's love to? And all these questions are just as relevant to us today. Traditionally, in Jewish culture, limits were put on who people regarded as neighbour. The Jews had a very narrow view of who their neighbour might be, and only considered those who were kinsfolk and of the same ethnic or religious origin to be their neighbour. By telling this story, particularly in the original version, Jesus is highlighting the deep historical prejudice, animosity, and hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. For the Jews, it was impossible for there to be such a thing as a good Samaritan. For us today, it may not be easy to consider that there can be a good stranger. So how can we understand this story, and what does it mean for us today? If we believe, as the Jews did, that we shall receive eternal life through the things we do, we miss the whole essence of the resurrection. As Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." It is through our relationship with Jesus that we receive eternal life, not the number of brownie points we may clock up. The purpose of this story, then, is that it is an instruction to love and to show how we can and should relate to God as well as relating to our neighbours. To love God is more than an act of will or a belief. Loving God is to live a certain sort of life, a life that is devoted to a heart, soul, strength, mind, full of love for God. As all these words describe how we should work towards having a deep-seated response to God from our emotion, our intellect, our experience, and our abilities. In fact, from our whole being. The story, therefore, tells us how we should relate to God, and also how we should relate to our families, our friends, and our neighbours. We're encouraged to build relationships with our immediate neighbours and our local community, and also with people in the developing countries of the world, people we don't know and are never likely to meet, people who may have different cultures from our own. The bishop and the judge, in the story we've had this morning, represent all who are so bound up in their own importance that they fail to allow their consciences to show any compassion or love for the man who's been robbed and beaten. Or are they just afraid of getting dirty or of the same thing happening to them? Then the stranger comes along. The man who has been robbed doesn't expect him to stop. Why should he? But he does. This stranger is the one who shows God's love, that love which is not shown by the people who seem to think that they are too important to stop. The stranger acts from his heart and doesn't make any distinction between taking care of himself and helping a man who's been badly attacked. The stranger, who is also potentially in great danger of attack, puts aside his own vulnerability, chooses to ignore the risks to himself, and is moved with pity. Being moved with pity shows the depth of compassion he has for this man, who has obviously been the victim of considerable violence. The stranger seems to have been quite a wealthy man. He has a donkey and is carrying a first aid kit as well as money, which he is willing to use. He uses the bandages, wine and oil he is carrying to bind up and clean the wounds, like today's emergency response medics do. He then places the injured man on his donkey and they go to an inn where he continues to take care of him. The stranger doesn't just abandon the man, his patient, to the care of the innkeeper. No, the next day he took out 2 denarii, gives them to the innkeeper and says, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend." The stranger chooses to continue to take care of the injured man, even though he might not have had time for the delay. What impact must this care shown to an injured man by a stranger have had on the innkeeper? Does he really want the responsibility of having them in his inn overnight? Does he want to continue caring for the man while the stranger completes his journey? And will he be reimbursed? The stranger's care is representative of God's care for us. He is outrageously generous towards the injured man, as God is outrageously generous towards us. God never gives up on us, even though we may ignore him by doing our own things and going our own way. The bishop and the judge, who passed by, seemed to feel it was better to remain aloof and preserve their dignity. Their actions started with their minds and were about self-preservation. Our actions should start with our hearts and take that place of compassion. The love God has for us is always one that shows compassion. The lawyer and the others listening to Jesus will have understood very clearly what Jesus is saying. Be a neighbour to everyone in need. Express compassion even to your enemies. This is the goal you should be working towards if you want to receive eternal life. Eternal life remains a gift, but it can be aspired to by giving unexpected life to the most unexpected of people. For the Jews, the stranger, in the original story, the Samaritan, was someone who was thought to be an enemy, but that didn't stop the good stranger giving the gift of life to the man left for dead on the roadside. God gives us the gift of life every time we turn to him and respond to his love for us. Will we use the God-given revelation of love and grace as a way of boosting our own sense of isolated security and purity, or do we see it as a call and challenge to extend that love and grace to our immediate neighbours and community and to the whole world? None of us should remain content with easy definitions, things we can do when we feel like it, while more than half the people of the world are lying half dead in the road. We need to remember that God loves each and every one of us, whoever we are and wherever we come from. We are all called to show God's love to those we meet, whether they are local or at the far side of the world, through prayer and for doing what we can to support those agencies who are in contact with those in need. God's love is holistic and from the heart. It involves healing the whole person. When we start with our minds, the tendency is to make an initial judgment, and then, perhaps, we might think what we could do to help. We may know theoretically who our neighbour is, but we must also put our theoretical knowledge into action. We must do something. We may not be able to do anything physically or practically, but we can all pray. Jesus' challenge to the lawyer shows him who his neighbour is, not just those he knows and is willing to help, but those also that he doesn't know, and whether he likes them or not. And the lawyer is told to go and do likewise. Eternal life is something to be inherited. In order to receive an inheritance, a person needs to become an heir. No amount of doing will make any of us an heir. We may aspire to become to eternal life by the way we live our lives, but to inherit eternal life, we must become heirs. Eternal life is a gift freely given to God by God's grace to all who become an heir, and it is given to those who respond to his love and try to be obedient to the things he wants them to do. This includes doing what we can to help those in need, whenever and however we can, whether it is to our immediate neighbour or our neighbour far away. Our aim must be to show God's love and compassion to everyone in everything we do. And when we have Jesus walking alongside us, we will be given the guidance and the courage we need to achieve the tasks he wants us to do. Amen.